Welcome back, everybody. Hey, it is Food for Thought. Thoughts, if it were you, this is Neogentrix. I know it's been a while since you guys heard from me last time. I've had a lot of stuff going on between school, work, being sick for almost a month. Yeah, that last one took a big hit, trust me. It's like starting over again. You know, but hey, I'm back. Here we are. We're going to continue where we left off. I don't remember what the last thing was we were discussing. But I will pick another topic, we'll keep going from there, and then I'll read through all the suggestions that everyone has sent me, and I'll pick one, and we'll move on from there, okay? So, one of the things that was requested that someone asked me to do was friendship. What is friendship? Well, let's see here. I do believe off the top of my head, friendship, by definition, is the emotion or conduct of friends, state of being friends, or how do I put it? It's a state of mutual trust and support between people. That's probably the simplest way I can put that without it sounding weird. Honestly, there's a lot of things that factor into what to being friends, you know? I mean, keeping in mind, there's a lot of people out there that consider themselves to be friends, but in reality, they probably aren't, you know? Like, how do I give this an example? What is friendship? There's a question there. There's a thought there. That concludes with the channel and the way everything is set to run. So the phrase, a friend in need is a friend indeed. While cheesy, most definitely cheesy, I kind of find myself agreeing with this saying a lot. I mean, over the years, though, I realize how friendships can actually mean much, much more. Discussing what friendship is, like I mentioned before, it's a bond between two people who support each other willingly. What that actually means to me, as far as what friendship is. And then from here on out, you can decide whether or not, you know, you agree with that. I mean, I personally value friendship based on the quality of my bond with the person that I'm friends with, rather than the quality of the person. I mean, the person can be a terrible person. They can be a great person. They can be a mean person. They can be a bossy person. But I mean, as long as they're my friend and they're willing to help me out when I need it and I can help them, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, people with desirable traits by society standards don't necessarily make good friends. I believe most of us can actually vouch for that one, considering, you know, if you've been in school, you've dealt with people, then you understand. Likewise, you know, I have really strong friendships with people who are, like, well, not exactly the coolest people in the world. Some may say that they're a little weird. Actually, most people would say they're extremely weird, mainly my parents. So, I mean, they're like, these people, can you ever bring home someone who's normal? Well, there's a question for you. What's normal? That's another topic for another day. I'm not going to talk about what's normal. Not today. So, let me acknowledge a famous person saying, what's his name? Jim Rohn. Okay? You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Okay? I think it is true to a large extent for most people who treat their relationships as means to an end, getting to the top. I might be wrong, but, I mean, everyone experiences relationships very differently. I'd like to take Ron's saying with a pinch of salt, especially if we're seeking to build friendships we can depend on for less than a lifetime. Let me share three different personal stories. They gave me perspectives of what friendship is. Everybody has their own topics. Everyone has their own themes. So as we move forward, we'll get more into this. Let's take a short break right here, and then we'll go into these topics. All right. Welcome back. So, let me try this real quick. I know I asked the question. I said, what is friendship? You know, and I said I was going to give a story or two. How do I put this? In conversations about friendships with someone whom, you know, I consider, I'd like to consider a friend, but he or she may or not consider me to be one, simply because of what they said, relationships are disposable. So, you know, you think about this however you wish. You know, to the person, relationships are disposable because everything in the world is based on value, okay? They think everyone is ultimately all about what is in it for them, and no one does anything out of goodwill. For the person, even family members are disposable, which is, in retrospect, kind of sad. That's probably why I don't think he considers me a friend at all. He probably considers me as a cog, merely a tool, just as the other people in his life. Suffice to say, I was a little hurt by what he said, even though his perspective of friendships and relationships is not personal at all. However, what he says does have some truth in it. I mean, especially in his experiences with any form of relationships where widely based on potential benefits and rewards. I mean, in fact, his perspective is by no means wrong or flawed. I mean, it's, how do I put this? It's just the means I wouldn't be in it for life, in his life for much longer, just as his other replaceable cogs wouldn't be either. And I mean, I'm not saying I go around making friends just to, you know, use them and then leave. You know, I make friends and try to keep them if I can, but because my family moves around a lot, it's kind of hard to keep them. And while a lot of people say, hey, get social media, get their phone number, get whatever, to stay in contact with them, it doesn't always work. They could have, their Facebook can get hacked, their Twitter account can get hacked, they can change their phone number, they can move. You know, you never know what will happen. I've lost contact with a lot of people that I was friends with, and then when I saw them again, they didn't even recognize me. So, nothing I could say that could bring back the memories that I had with them, because they couldn't remember who I was. So, by someone whose standards are similar to his, he would be a perfect friend to a person who is similar to him. Let me also say, he is actually a great person who is liked by people around him, though probably not for very much longer. Great foundations of friendship, and not coincidental, other kinds of relationships too, are built on loyalty, honesty, empathy, acceptance, love, and, you know, the list goes on. But I think the simple most important ingredient here is definitely trust. Without trust, you know, two people can't traverse the acquaintanceship, deepen the friendship to a stage where they are basically like family. You know, some might argue friendships are between man and woman tend to face a lot of obstacles when either or both parties want to deepen their friendship. Of course it does. I mean, I would admit men would usually have more problems with maintaining a platonic friendship with women, as, you know, emotions can tend to get in the way. I mean, I've had my fair share of problems, trust me. Like, I've tried just wanting to be friends with someone and they kept trying to date me. It was really annoying. But, you know, not anymore. But again, like I said, you know, that's a topic for another day, and I do believe I already covered dating as it is already. So, you know, I still think everything boils down to just trust. I mean, if a friendship between a man and a woman is built on strong mutual trust, that their bond is strictly, or at least, you know, platonic, I think, you know, a family friendship is still possible. You know, but that's just one of the views. The second one was, how do I put this? So, I would, you know, talking with a couple of friends over the years, you know, here's an interesting story. I don't have very many friends because of some personal history. I do have this one best friend, though. We'll tell each other almost everything. We'll give each other support whenever we need it, you know, and we accept each other for who we are, you know, basically what as. We basically graduated together, in a way. I mean, sounds like a strong friendship there. The only problem is, it's a he. Yeah, because of a past incident, I fell out with virtually every single male friend I had, including that one person. That's what she said. Years later, when I wanted to reconcile with those friends, all of them shunned me except for that one person. Instead of mentioning my past actions, he started by asking if she was fine. I keep wanting to say me, and I'm talking about what she said. Sorry. He told her he was more concerned about her well-being than his own. Now they're back to being friends. But she've always had qualms about deepening their friendship. And when they called each other often, but they would try not. They would. How do I put this? They try to draw a line between in their relationship about being friends, so it wouldn't go any further. How do I put this? One of the things that made it difficult for this person was probably the fact that her family has an Asian background. Honestly, I don't think that had a reason, but this is what she's telling me. So, she believes there is an invisible line or boundary men and women should never cross. A man and a woman should never drink with each other until the wee hours of the night. They shouldn't call each other every day till late. They definitely shouldn't suggest either of them take a 12-hour flight to travel almost half the globe just to keep the other company. You know, these are things that couples would do, not friends. And technically, she is right. I mean, so I had to ask her, do you like him? Not as a friend, but as a man. She shook her head, saying that she only liked him as a friend, and he looks at her the same way, too. You know, I gave some of my heartfelt thoughts and hoping to lend her some encouragement to do what she knows is best for herself. You know, if... How did I say this? Oh boy. Memory fades. Okay. If both of you are sure of your friendship and feelings towards each other, nothing more than friends, then you shouldn't be worried. For what you had told me, he's a great person, and you know, both of you click so well. It's hard to find a person with a personality that clicks with your own, let alone someone with whom you can trust and depend on so dearly. So you shouldn't overthink the invisible lines, or Asian lines, whatever you want to call it, and boundaries our society has forced upon you. You know, psychologically. Of course, after the chat, you know, I made a bid for a deeper friendship and added if, you know, it seems like we would always have deep conversations unknowingly. Maybe we might have a good friendship too. She reciprocated that bid. You know, it really touched her heart. So, I mean, in different situations, it just depends. You know, I have a lot of friends that are this way, and I have to go through a lot of these different situations with them. So, you can't really peg one type of thing to one type of person. No two people are the same, keeping that in mind. So I'm going to take another short break here, and then we're going to switch to how you can actually make friends. I'm going to give some tips on that. Okay, so, picking up what I was saying before. In reality, friendships are among the trickiest relationships out there, okay? As hard as it may be to find romantic love, it's arguably even more difficult to pick a new pal for, you know, someone who you can really connect with and, you know, keep in touch with buddies from the past. I mean, there's no reason to resign ourselves to a life of solitude, especially since having friends is tremendously important for our healthy and, you know, health and happiness. So, I mean, what's the deal? That's the question right there. What's the deal? You know, 20-somethings? Yeah. They're among the friendliest people out there. Nearly everyone in this age group usually, you know, uses some form of social media, meaning they have constant opportunities to share the, you know, every minute of their life with hundreds and even thousands of connections and people around the world that they don't even know. Or they may know over the connection, but they don't know in person. I mean, at the same time, there are good reasons to believe American adults are getting lonelier as well. I mean, they've done surveys on this. You know, most surveys have found that we have, you know, fewer friends than we did in the 1980s, which is kind of sad. But I mean, if you think about it, it's mostly technology's fault. Everyone would rather be on their phone rather than talking to someone face-to-face. And, you know, many people in their 20s and 30s complain that they don't know how to make new friends or feel abandoned by their old ones. You know, and this has become really sad. So, I mean, But these constant trends and things and such, I mean, this trend has become troublesome. Given that friendships are important, if not crucial, for our well-being, some scientists argue that, humans are inherently social creatures, wired to benefit from close relationships with family, romantic partners, of course, friends. Other research suggests a network close friends can reduce stress and promote good health and longevity. That depends on the type of friend you have, by the way. While it's perfectly reasonable to desire some alone time, come on. Does anyone really need to know we watched an entire season of whatever on Netflix in one weekend? Nothing can replace the value of a close friend. Everyone doesn't need to know that. If you have a close friend that knows that, great. But you don't need to tell the whole world, hey, I sat here and watched the entire series of Game of Thrones. Good on you. I am not sitting here for 15 seasons watching over 370 episodes of hour-long episodes of... What did I just say? Game of Thrones. I don't hate the show. For some reason, I just can't seem to get myself to sit there for an hour each episode to watch it. I like my anime. That's me. But my shows are usually 28 minutes or less. So, for a reason, because I want to be able to get up and still go do something else and not sit there and have to, gorge out on an entire episode. And I have friends that know this, so they don't try to force me to watch shows I apparently just don't have the mental capacity to sit there for. Which is weird, because I can sit and drive for up to 8 hours without getting up. Unfortunately, making and retaining friends isn't always easy, but it can be done. For anyone confused about how exactly to do this, forging new friendships or straightening old ones, I do have a couple of tips that, are more creative and practical than old ones, just to put, yourself out there. If you're willing to try them, continue on with the rest of this episode, and you'll figure it out, okay? Okay, gold tier. Let's get started. Gold tier, meaning we're going to start at the... Actually, not gold tier. We'll start at the very bottom. We'll start with bronze. First things first, do it blind. Okay, that's the first step. I kid you not. Most of us have heard of the title blind date. Okay, you can play you can let a friend play matchmaker and set you up with someone we've never met before. If you've just moved to a new city, have a friend set you up on a total platonic blind date with one of his or her friends who lives nearby. You'll be less likely to call your friend angry if the potential match turns sour. It works out well, and I'm not saying a date in terms of like you're trying to get to know the person as to date the person. No, it's to give you someone to hang out with in that area, so that you can at least be one person there that you know, instead of going in and knowing nobody. I've already done this multiple times. It sucks coming into a new area not knowing about a single person at that school. Only thing that helped me was getting to know a staff member who introduced me to another person, who introduced me to another person, and it went from there. So it does work. It just depends on your personality. 2, be yourself. Okay, when you pursue hobbies, activities you enjoy, you have a good chance of meeting people with similar interests. So check out the local lecture on modern literature and sign up for sushi making lessons if you like sushi. Each event is a chance to make a whole new room full of people, potential friends that are like-minded buddies. I mean, you don't have to sign up for sushi making. You can sign up for baking if you like to cook. I like to cook. So, or guitar playing or music or just sewing. There's a sewing club here. I know. I'm probably going to take that because to me it seems like something that would be useful in the future. 3. Get up close and personal. Not in their face. That's two different things. When you're just starting to get to know someone, foster intimacy by, talking about something deeper than the stupid weather. I kid you not. Every time someone tries to start a conversation with someone they don't know, first thing they talk about is the weather. Find something else. Don't even talk about their clothes. If you really can't think of anything, fine, you can go with the clothes. Just do not talk about the weather. Once you two have been talking for a while, try what researchers call the fast friends technique. Basically, each party gradually discloses something meaningful about him or herself. For example, each person could answer the question, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? I'm not answering that question, by the way. If you want to know, you gotta ask me yourself. 4. Be persistent. While not everyone has the courage to actually do it, most of us know how to pursue a crush. Send flowers to their office, invite them to a concert featuring a band you know they love. You know, ask them to check, you know, yes or no under the question, will you go out with me? Please don't do that anymore. I don't think anyone does that anymore. I think that's only like a thing you do in third grade. I don't know why I even bothered saying it. Apply similar but less romantic tactics when pursuing a potential friend. For example, send a person an email, ask them to lunch or a coffee date next week, or follow up afterwards to say, you know, you had a good time. Something to induce a second, third, or fourth meeting so that you have a potentiality of actually having someone to talk to or make friends with. Okay? And then 5th. I almost lost count. Set a goal. It might sound superficial, but the next time you go to a party, tell yourself you want to leave with 3 new friends, or maybe even just 1. That way you'll at least, you know, be more open to meeting people and starting in-depth conversations instead of just smiling at the person ahead of you in line for the bathroom. This happens. I hate to say it, but it happens. It's really weird. So, moving on. 6. Say cheese. Seriously. We're including smiling on this list because it's more powerful tactic for making connections than you may believe. For one thing, smiling takes us out of our own head and makes us think more about the image we're actually projecting on people. I'm not saying you should care about your physical image, but you probably should if you're out in public. People who smile as opposed to folks with neutral faces are perceived as more attractive, kinder, happier, and therefore more approachable rather than someone who has a scowl across his face and looks like he's about to reap their souls. I've seen plenty of those. It's a little weird. 7, don't take it personally. We pretty much know what it means when a romantic partner tells you or tells us, it's not you, it's me. I'm tired of hearing that. But when you invite a new pal to coffee or a movie and then they turn you down, don't freak out. Maybe they really are busy with work. Maybe family relationships already take up too much of their time as it is. Maybe it actually isn't you after all. I kid you not. Most of the time, it's not going to be because we live in a world nowadays where everybody's busy with God knows whatever. Could be in their backyard farming and trying to take care of a plant that could die at any second if they don't do it right. You know, and you know, maybe you can just get a rain check for the next week. You know, even if the event has to be put off a month later. You know, consider the thought that maybe they are busy. If something does come up or they just really don't want to talk to you anymore, most people will say or you'll get a sign of it, okay? Last but not least on how to make a new friend, you know, think outside the box. It is possible that up until now, all your friends have been 20-something-year-old women or guys who either work in the fashion industry or are suit and tie. You know, but why limit yourself to this particular crowd? You can easily hit it off with a 40-year-old who works in finance. I mean, you have enough in common. Be open to forming new relationships with coworkers, neighbors, classmates, no matter who they appear to be. It doesn't mean you don't be careful who you're talking to. Okay? All that's for how to make new friends. Now, we're going to take a short break, and then I'm going to tell you how you can possibly keep your old ones. That's always going to be fun. Okay. Let's talk about how to keep the old friends as a young adult. So, let's start with this. They're old friends, right? So they've seen you weep over a dead goldfish, laugh so hard that their abs are sore the next day. But, you know, now we're all professional and it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of brand new social circles, forgetting about your old ones. You know, the tips I'm about to give you will give you ways where you can still keep old ties strong. You know, being honest, forgiving, and supportive, regardless of what the reason. Let's dive into 1. We're now at gold level. So now I can say gold tier, gold tier, gold tier. It's going to be my thing from now on. Loosen up. First things first, loosen up. Example. So Sarah forgot your last birthday and Mark never made it to your holiday party. As hurtful as their seeming of lack of interest might be, try to cut your old pal some slack. Instead of assuming that they've become mean or just don't care about your relationship anymore, consider that they might just be overwhelmed with work or family responsibilities, and remember that you've probably been in the same boat multiple times. Keep that in mind. A lot of people tend to think that because people don't show up or do anything, they don't care. Well, they care. They're just busy. 2, speak the truth, okay? There's nothing like a pal who can tell it to you straight, and, a superficial relationship typically doesn't last long. You know, when a friend asks you a question about a new job or relationship, try to be as open as possible. You've built a sense of trust, and your friend will likely reciprocate with honesty about their own life if they can. With that being said, be virtually present. That's the third thing I can tell you. Even though social media can't substitute for real friends, Facebook can actually be a great way to strengthen old ties. You know, one of the studies that I found here while looking this up was that posting mass status updates, just ate breakfast, delish, doesn't do much for close relationships, believe it or not. But posting on someone else's wall to congratulate them on admissions to graduate school, a new job, getting married, having a kid, can actually be really meaningful, okay? That reminds me. Number 4, I'll put this at 4 instead of where it was going to be. Keep it brief. Many of us have been in this situation. We received an email from an old pal, then put off responding to it until we have time and attention span to write a novel-length response. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I have friends who do that. If y'all listening to this, please don't do that anymore. It's really weird. A better plan is to send frequent, short emails so you can stay in the loop about each other's lives and never go too long without an update. I kid you not, I have some friends that I haven't seen in like months, and a few I haven't seen in a few years. And the second I send them an email or a text message, when they reply back, I get an entire blog, if not an entire book. And then I don't have time to respond because I'm spending all the time trying to read what they just sent me. Sometimes it takes me a month to finish it just so I can reply. Doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. There's times I'm okay with it, but most of the time I just want a short, hey, how you doing? What's up? My life was great. I got married. I have a kid. Just simplify it, please. With that being said, number 5, put it on paper. By the time we come home from a long day of work and errands, we may have had a little energy left to catch up on sessions, but if there's already an appointment on the calendar, we can't miss it. So schedule regular phone calls or Skype dates with pals or friends who live far away. There's a good chance you'll be glad you didn't skip the date, and it'll allow y'all to keep caught up every once in a while. And with that being said, that brings me to number 6, go with the flow. When a friend experiences a big life change, like I mentioned before, such as moving into a new city, getting married, having a baby, the relationship is bound to change. It's going to change. It can't be stopped. Instead of fretting that things will never be the same way that they've always been, why can't we just stay up all night drinking wine and discussing the meaning of life? There's a question. Focus on what you guys have in common now and be supportive of your friend's new lifestyle, and remember that they are still the same person, just with added effects to their lives. I just thought about this. Think of it like if you're playing a video game and you have another team member who has different status effects. He started off as a scrub mage who couldn't do anything, and now he has bonus effects that can either help and or hurt you. Most likely, they're going to help you. That's just kind of how this works. It's kind of funny. The meaning of life. Now, there's a discussion. I will never cover that in any of these podcasts because that will take forever to do. The more people have reacting to me and, sending me messages, maybe we'll have that discussion with me and a couple other podcasters as well, but not right now. So number 7, bond with your buddy. Say you two used to go bowling together every week, but haven't been in touch for a year. Instead of setting up a potentially awkward coffee date to reconnect, why don't you suggest that you two hit the bowling alley like old days and give it a chance to rekindle your friendship, like doing something you both enjoy and removing some of the pressure of that stupid small talk with a coffee cup in front of you and not being able to say anything and hoping something random happens. Oh, here's a better one. Actually, if that doesn't work for you, here's number 8. Get out of town. I'm not telling you. I know how that sounded. Research shows we value experiences over actual items, and what better experience is there than spending time with a group of friends? When a friend moves somewhere far away, consider saving up for a little vacation to visit and hang out with their new hood. You know, likewise, you know, let the friend know that your couch is always available too. Okay? I always tell my friends, if you need some help or you need someone to talk to, I'm here. I'm always here, regardless of what I'm doing. I may not be able to respond immediately at the moment, but as long as you send me a message, I will get to you in my next open second. Because I plan stuff down to the second. I just realized how weird that is. Anyway, so what's the takeaway from this? Okay, sometimes it happens. We bond over a mutual love, like, you know, for some people it's Harry Potter or kittens. Why kittens? Why kittens? Why do you do this to me? And next thing you know, we're meeting for weekly brunches, both of us, but other times it's harder. You know, we can't help feeling like we're the only person at the party without a wingman. If you go to parties, I don't do parties. You know, whatever the circumstance, it's important not to get discouraged. With enough self-confidence, flexibility, and patience, it's possible to find friends in almost any situation and keep them for life. I kid you not. It really is. So, I mean, that's basically the takeaway from this. You know, what is friendship? You know, how is it, you know, how does it affect other people? You know, what do they think? How to make friends? How to keep friends? You know, that's the kind of the whole premise of this. You know, I try to keep my podcasts on point. I try to talk about select topics, things that people actually care about or want to know. I mean, there's different things, you know, people might want to know. People don't know. People don't really care to know. You know, it moves on day after day after day. So, I mean, it's just a matter of preference. So, like always, if you have any topics, things of concern, things that you would like to know about, things you'd like to hear me talk about, or you just want to hear your voice on my podcast, feel free to hit me up on anchor.fm. You can download the app from the Google Play Store, the Apple Store. Yeah, that's what it's called. I think it's called iTunes Store now. You can download the app from there, create your account, search for my name on there. It's going to be NeoGentrix, or you can go to the website anchor.fm/NeoGentrix to show your support, you know, or listen to all my older previous podcasts, so on and so forth, moving on with our lives and so on. I'm also available on multiple different platforms, including Spotify, like I mentioned earlier. You know, I love to hear from you guys. I love getting the topics that you guys want to hear, and I love talking about them. So let me know what you think. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.